Thank you, Barry. Good afternoon, everyone. I think we all know our nation has witnessed some pretty horrific events this week, and they came with complete suddenness. You know, I don't think anybody expected anything like that, or that quickly, or that ferocity. But a lot of people are still trying to make sense of things, and that includes us, and that will include us. And there's a lot of uncertainty in the situation that when we approach and take a look at, you know, it looks like our nation will be going to war. Maybe it'll be a quick battle, maybe it'll be a prolonged battle. You know, will there be retaliation be after our, you know, attempts at war? Is this the end of it? Is this just the beginning of it? There's a lot of questions of uncertainty that are out there, and there's a lot of things that can be said about these events, and I am not going to make a lot of comments today because I know your pastor, Mr. Luker, has quite a bit to say to you this afternoon during the announcements and the sermon, and I will leave some of those to him. But what I'd like to do this morning, though, is just to establish one point. I think it's very important for us, you know, as we go through this process and we start to talk together and we start to look into the Scriptures and ask God for understanding, that we strengthen one another in the Word, that we understand also these events in the context and in relation to spiritual things that happen and take place in this world, that we should start to look at and to view these things not through just physical eyes or just the acts that we see taking place around us, but that we should put on our spiritual glasses again and understand the context of what's happening here. And today I'd like to do that. I'd like to establish one simple point about this. Now, as we go through today, I think it's very important for us to discuss with each other, to talk about these things and start to decipher and to start to ask and pray for God's understanding. But let's give it a context. Let's put the uncertainty in one parameter and understand one thing, and that is that God rules in the kingdom of men, and he passes judgment in the kingdom of men. So let's understand that one basic point, because it's actually very cornerstone to understanding things that are happening now and things that will happen over the coming years. So let's discuss that and let's step back and understand that and frame the context of all we talk about, all we see in the Bible, and all that we discuss today from this vantage point. So start turning to Daniel 4. I started reading in Daniel this past couple weeks, and I think there's a lot of very interesting principles in there to start to dissect and start to understand. But the process that Daniel went through was very, very interesting, because there were a lot of nations around him and a lot of kings and a lot of events that happened that there was a lot of rising and falling. And you see how God delivered messages, how God warned nations, warned people. Kingdoms were raised, kingdoms were lowered. And from all of this experience that we have in Daniel, excuse me, we can understand quite a bit of the way that God works. So let's turn to Daniel 4, verse 18 and start. And let's establish the first part of this point. This is about a prophecy or a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he asked all of his, you know, wizards and magicians to come and to make known the dream and its interpretation. And none of them can do that, obviously, because he wouldn't even tell them what the dream was, so they couldn't even guess. Excuse me. But there was Daniel in this kingdom, and Daniel was given by God the spirit and the ability to be able to make known interpretations of these dreams. So starting in verse 18, it says, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar," which was Daniel's other name, "declare its interpretation. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you." So he understood from the past times that Daniel, that God had given him a spirit to be able to interpret these things. Now the dream was one about a tree growing up and becoming strong, other nations taking refuge in this tree, and that tree would be chopped down, banded for 7 years, and that was the actual dream. Now the dream, as Daniel interprets it, starts in verse 22. He says to the king, he says, "It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze in the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him.'" So then, that was the actual just kind of summary of the dream. see any water. So what happens is that Daniel then goes on to interpret this dream based on God's revelation to him. And he said, this is the interpretation, O king, in verse 24, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And they shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be as the beast of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass like oxen. And then they shall wet you with the dew of the heaven, etc. And the purpose of this happening is found in verse 25. And it says at the end of that, it says, seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. So Nebuchadnezzar did not understand that. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar was quite full of himself, and he said that the kingdom was because of himself. Now, God allowed this entire thing to happen to establish a very important point that he leaves there for us, is that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And so what happened was, thank you very much, what happened was, down in verse 28, as it says, it came to pass upon King Nebuchadnezzar that he was walking around in his royal palace in Babylon. You know, he said, look at this kingdom. I've made it with my hand, and it is of me. And he basically did not give God the credit for that or by his hand. And while he was still speaking that in verse 31, it says, a voice came from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The king has departed from you. And 32 reiterates the same point again. They shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make you eat grass like oxen. Seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. And that very hour it happened. And Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years was like an animal. Until one day in verse 34, at the time of the end, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, his understanding returned to him. And then he blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is a kingdom from generation to generation. In verse 37, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of the heavens, all of whose works are true and his ways are justice. And those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Now, we established the first half of a very important point here, and that is to say that in today's kingdom of men, rulers being set up and being taken down, and nations being set up and being taken down, that God actually rules in this kingdom. He is able to make one stand, and he is able to make one fall. God is the one who establishes and sets up those nations that should be set up and those that should be taken down. So a lot of things that we see in this world are not just random acts, are not just without a context. They may be decreed by God. They may not be decreed by God, but God sets up and takes down nations because it says he is in control. He rules the destiny. He sets up nations and takes them down. Now, that means that it doesn't matter, you know, how weak a nation may be. It could be a nation of nothing. If God decrees that that nation should be set up, God will set up that nation. If he decrees that a nation, no matter how strong it is, should be taken down, that nation will be taken down. This is a very important point to understand, that God is in control of the destiny of these things, that they're not just kind of random acts of things kind of running around. So that means that, and I'm not saying that that is the decree that's been passed this week at all. I'm just saying that it's very important to understand or to get in firmly fixed in our minds is that God rules in the kingdom of men, and that he, as he decrees, can set up or he can take down and cause events to happen how they want. So let's see how this ties in and see how this actual takes place in Daniel 7. Let's just turn over a couple chapters, because this is a theme that's actually woven throughout the book of Daniel. So Daniel 7, verse 7, let's look at that. It says, after I saw in the night visions, Daniel 7, 7, and this is talking about the beast. He says, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So it's just talking about, and it's giving a prophecy of the different beasts and the different nations that are coming along. Now, there's a very interesting process that happens throughout all of this. God rules in the kingdom of men. He sets up and takes down as he sees fit. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is that he actually passes judgment on the nations. There is a judgment that is made. You see this process happening and starting in verse 9. Let's look at that. It says, verse 9, talking about the beast previous and the horn and all that's going on, it says, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. So in other words, a throne was set up. The Ancient of Days, or God, the Father, sat down and was put on his throne. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. So what we see being described here is basically a court is being adjourned and being put into session. That we have a number of players that are here. We have, the thousands of thousands minister to him, 10,000 times 10,000. The court was actually seated and sat down. Who is the judge? The judge is God. And then there were books that were opened. What are these books? If you look at these books, they appear to be the exact same books that are talked about as well in the White Throne Judgment, when that judgment is set up, that there are some books that are being opened. And if we understand that from there and from this, we can understand that those actual books are the books of the Bible, which is to say that there is an actual standard that this court will judge by. That when it comes to judge, it's not a mystery what it's judging by. It's not a mystery what the standard is. It's saying that let's open the books that were given, the books of the Bible, and we will pass judgment. We will read what it says, and we will look at the actions of what has been done, and we will say and pass righteous judgment. That is a very important concept to understand, number one, is because that also defines a very important reason for us to look at and to want to seek to do a work for God. Because judgment can't be passed unless people hear and understand what the rule is or what the judgment that is being determined on them is. And that's where work has an involvement. That is for us to understand and to go out and preach to the nations to say that here is what is coming, here's what God requires of you. So what this is saying is that after that is preached to the nations, God sits down and says, it's time for a judgment to be passed. Let me open the books up and let's pass a judgment, a righteous judgment on this. But first they must hear that. And that's a very important part where our part comes in, is that that has to do with a work and a witness that God has given us to do to this world. So that is something to start to think about in this entire process, about the work, about the witness, and about a message that must go out. And it's important for us to understand there are some practical things that we can do here. There are some things that we can start to think about. All of the answers and all of the will of God is not open completely in front of us right now, which direction he wants to take right at the moment. And that is something to start to pray about, something to start to ask God about, to ask that his will would be open, that his message would be on our lips, that his work would be done through us, that the prophecies that are in the Bible that we read about, that we would get a better, more thorough understanding of those things. These are things that we should start to pray about daily and to ask God to open up our minds. As he touched the lips of Daniel, he can touch our lips and help us to speak the messages that he wants us to speak. So these two scriptures are very important to set up a context. That one, God rules and he sets up and takes down, and two, that he does pass righteous judgment. There is a court or that is seated that he can pass judgment on. Now, these are not just random or heartless judgments. God has put forth a standard in words, and he judges by that, a righteous standard which he judges by. The topic of righteous judgment is a huge topic. It's one that, you know, bears even further discussion at some later date in a sermon or some other topic. But God judges a righteous standard and a righteous judgment. And we can see how this is actually happens later in this chapter. Let's go down to verse 20, because the process unfolds a little bit further. It says, the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, and it was prevailing against them. So in other words, events were happening in this world. A very strong power was making war against the saints, and it was prevailing. These are just events that are going on, that are taking place. And it says, I was watching, and then verse 22, it was prevailing against them. It says, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. So there are points in history and events that God is seated on his throne, and he says, and he opens the book, and he says, there is a judgment to be made. In this particular example, it's talking about the saints and being overcome, and God passes a judgment and says, a righteous judgment is that is not going to happen. And when God passes that judgment stands and gets carried out. And that's exactly what we see happening here in this example with the saints, that he judged in favor of the saints. And the horn and the beast and the other things that were there were demolished because of that, because God's judgment was said and went down. And you drop down to verse 25, he's still speaking about the little horn, which says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and he shall persecute the saints of the Most High, shall intend to change times and laws. And it says, the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a times and a half a times. But again, the court will be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So again, what this is establishing is that God is in control of these things, and that he does sit on a judgment throne, and he does pass righteous judgment, and that can change events one way or the other. Now, I'm not saying that judgment has been passed on our nation this week, but what I'm establishing is that God does sit there, and there will be a time when judgment will be passed not just on this nation, but on this world, and that events will start to transpire and start to take place. When God passes a judgment, they'll start to tip one way or the other. Now, it does not matter at that point in time, you know, what the nation is capable of or not capable of. What God's judgment is will stand and will be brought to pass. So we can look at this, and we can think about that through spiritual eyes, that behind all of events in this world, it's not just a random act that's happening, that there is a God there who says that he can set up a nation or take down a nation, and he can pass judgment, and when his judgments are passed, things come to pass, depending on his will. They're not just random acts. They're all according to his will and his purpose, and to bring his kingdom about, and to teach men that who is the God of mercy, and what the right way is that will live on this earth through all periods of time. Man does not seem to want to learn that lesson, so God has in store for man a certain events that will unfold to, you know, according to these things. So it's important to see that. Now, I'm not saying that, again, that you know, is the judgment that's passed. We don't know that. We do not know that. We will not know that for a period of time. But when God's judgments, again, are passed, that is the way things will go. And it's important to understand that God is behind these things, that God is sitting on his throne and ready to pass righteous judgment to say that this is the way that it will go at this point in time in history. So what is our reaction to some of these things, or some of this understanding should be? I think a lot of times when these events come along, you know, we refer to them as, you know, wake-up calls. You know, we say, oh, you know, this is a big wake-up call for me. And in some ways, I think we need to start to really think seriously about that concept, because I think that it can lead down a wrong road. And what I mean by that is, think back a little bit. How many people remember the Gulf War when it started? Right? I can remember sitting there, and I can remember thinking that, boy, we're going to war. This could be the beginning of the end. You know, I might be drafted. You know, there's just a lot of thoughts going through my mind that were, they just pretty much scared me and said, you know what? I said, boy, I've got to wake up and get moving. Well, what happened in that event? It was not the time. It was not the time where God said the events are going to go a certain way. He let things go pretty much back to normal, let things get back to normal. And what happened in my life? I can just be honest and say things went pretty much back to normal. I went back to my job. Things got pretty, you know, hunky-dory. And, you know, it seemed to be going along fine. Just kind of slipped back into the old things. And the problem with that is that looking at the event as a wake-up call is actually focusing on the wrong thing. Because as I've established before, there will actually be some judgments passed on the nations. And when God will pass a judgment, at that time, that's for the nation, and events will unfold within an hour, as the Bible says. There's other scriptures that say they come suddenly and within an hour, and the, you know, day of the Lord is a thief in the night. By that time, that is not the time to look at an event to start to change. Now, what I'm saying is that what we need to focus on is to understand that we need to look at the right judgment. Now, what do I mean by that? 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." What that means is the exact same court that was seated to judge the nations is already seated to judge us in our lives now. The judgment has begun. God is seated, he's opened the books, and he is starting to look at our lives and say, you know, what is taking place in these people's lives? That is the judgment that we should focus on, because that is does not get tied to just events coming and going. That is a continual process to keep our eyes on. If we focus on that judgment and understand the correct judgment, that judgment is now upon the house of God, that means that all along we will be thinking of changing and need to be thinking of changing. If we wait for a judgment to be passed on a nation, that's the wrong judgment to look at. Because when that judgment happens, it can go quick. It can be very swift, and it can be done in an instant. And by that time, it's possible at some point in time it could be too late. It's possible. I'm not saying now is too late at all. Not at all. I'm just saying that if we look at just events to wake up, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. Let's focus on the judgment that God says that is actually now on the house of God. So the court's already in session. It's already, the books are already opened for us at this point in time. Things could go back to normal after this as well, just like they did in the Gulf War. It may take some time. You know, things may kind of get shaken out. We don't know. But again, let's start to look at and to understand the judgment that is on the house of God now, as opposed to trying to look at the events or the judgment that will be passed on this world and see that as our wake-up call. Our wake-up call comes now. This means that if there are sins and there are things in our lives, let's take a gut check and look. We all have sins. We all know things that are inside of there that we need to put away. We know we all have weaknesses that we need to set aside. Let's really start to think about digging into those and asking God and just making progress on those and put those things away. It's a very important thing to understand, and that is actually the response that we should have. The Bible does talk about weeping and gnashing of teeth at some point in time. And what that connotates, and it sounds very dreadful, but it's something to really think deeply about in our own hearts, is that these people had an opportunity, knew something, didn't take advantage of it, and it became too late, and they sorely regretted that. That's where you have the weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's just too much, too overwhelming. That describes a condition that we shouldn't be in. So let's focus on the right judgment. The judgment is now on the house of God continuously, whether these events happen now, whether they go back to normal, whether they get worse. We need to focus on that and look at weeding things out into our lives. So let's dig deep over the next, you know, coming years or however long it takes, and let's start to put that sin out, and let's start to think about digging deep and putting those things out. And Peter just wraps this up and says it in just a certain way, exactly this very same concept. In 2 Peter 3:10, I won't actually turn there, but let me just quote this to you to finish up. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?"